Okay, we are up to Perek. We are up to. What happened to this mic? We're up to Perek Lamed Aleph, new Perek. This is continuing, it's a continuation of the previous Perek, Perek Lamed, where Yeshaya is delivering a session of Musar to the people of Yehuda and Yisrael. Not only Yehuda, we have to even go back before the time of Yehuda. This part of his message was also directed to the people of Yisrael before they were sent into Golus by Sancheriv. They also relied upon the Egyptians, and he was criticizing them. Why are you relying upon the Egyptians? You should rely upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why are you sending the Egyptians elaborate gifts? Why are you risking your lives to travel in the desert to deliver these gifts without even asking the Navi? There was Yeshaya, there were other Nevi'im. Why did you not consult with the Nevi'im and find out if this is the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take such an approach? Oh, it's okay, right, some news. Okay, it's okay. Why are you taking this approach to save yourself? So here, Pasuk Aleph, Hoy Woe, Hayardin Mitzrayim LeEzra, woe to those people that descend to Egypt for help. They also Simi Yishainu, and upon horses they rely. In other words, they relied upon the mighty horses of the Egyptians. They were hoping that the Egyptians would send the Jewish people a supply of these horses to use in battle. Vayivtichu al rechef. They rely, repetition, they rely upon chariots. Kirov, because they believed that they are mighty. There are many. Kirov, there are many. The Egyptians have a large supply of horses to give over to the Jewish people. V'al parashim, and upon the horsemen. Ki otzmu, because they are very mighty. Why are you relying upon the multitude of chariots and horsemen? I guess the Egyptians would provide the Jewish people. They were hoping with people who know how to operate the chariots. Like today, it's not just enough you have fighter jets, you have to be very well trained and sophisticated, very high skill, unique skill set to operate these high-tech weapons. And it appears over here that the Parashim, the horsemen, they were very well trained how to operate these very quick, to use these horses. And the Jewish people were relying that the Egyptians would provide for them. Ki atzum od velo shau, you did not turn. Shau means to turn. Al kidosh Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'al Hashem lo derashu, and Hashem, you did not seek out. Two expressions, to turn and to seek. What exactly is the difference? I do not know, but I'm sure there's something deeper here in these two different points of criticism. To turn to Hashem and to seek out Hashem. Could be to turn means to daven, and to seek out would be something more significant, like to speak to the Navi, to approach the Navi, or to perhaps have some type of communal type of gathering to be mispalel, that the Jewish people be spared from Sancheriv. Pasuk Bey, so this is a fascinating pasuk. The Gam Hu Chacham, Hashem is also wise. Sometimes we think that we are wiser than Hashem. We have a problem. We are brilliant. We have technology. We have solutions. And we can take care of ourselves. We will rely upon our wisdom. Guess what? Hashem is also wise. Hashem is just as wise as man. And in fact, he is even smarter. He has more wisdom. And if Hashem does not want to save you, he will cause your plans to fail. V'gam hu chacham, he is also wise. V'yovei ra, and he will bring evil. In other words, Hashem will thwart your plans. You think that you're going to send gifts and rely upon the Egyptians. Nothing will come of that. Hashem will, if he wants, he will bring it about that Ashur will attack and conquer, which indeed he did. V'yestuvarav loy hesir, Hashem will not, his words he will not remove. Now the Farshim point, this refers specifically to the prohibition that you're not allowed to return to Egypt. Hashem told the Jews in the Ref Mitzrayim, do never return on this path. Rashi brings down this pasuk. Look at Rashi pasuk base. Hashem will return this part of the Teichacha. Hashem will cause you to return to Egypt in ships. Mida k'neged mida. Shemarti l'cha. I told you, lo yisaysif o lirosa. I instructed you, you should never return to Egypt. You should never see it again. And here the Jewish people, when they feel they are attacked by Ashur, they are sending messengers to the Egyptians to seek their assistance. That is an outright prohibition. The pasuk says, "Lo sosif o lirosa." You shall never turn back, never look back in Egypt. That's a chiddush, because you would think that this prohibition of you're not allowed to return to Egypt is only you want to live there. Just you are on your own. You want. Rashi is telling us that even in a time of need, in a time of danger, you should not seek out Egypt for salvation. It's a very big chiddush, because we know the Rambam lived in Egypt. And the Rambam, and we know, how could the Rambam live in Egypt? Because Parnassah, the only time you're not allowed to go back to Egypt is only if you're just going for pleasure, you want to live there. But where you're persecuted, the Rambam had nowhere to go. The Rambam was in Spain, and the Rambam was persecuted by the Muslims. He went here, went there, and the end was, he found himself in Egypt. He wrote this whole question, he wrote in the letters that I violate every single day the prohibition that you're not allowed to return to Egypt. There's a question if the Rambam really wrote that, someone else wrote that. But whatever the case is, you would think that the prohibition does not apply to return to Egypt when you find yourselves in a state of danger. Rashi here says, no, it does apply. Fascinating. That you are in danger. You still, why are you going to the Egyptians for assistance? Hashem's words have not disappeared. When Hashem commanded you, do not return. Those words never were removed from the Torah. How dare you ignore those words and return to Egypt and seek their assistance? The Kamal Beis Mireim, Hashem will stand, will arise against the house of evildoers, Lashon of Ra, the Al Ezras Poale Oven, and Hashem will, on those that assist, not only will HaKadosh Baruch Hu punish the sinners, the ones, the instigators, the people who lead, the leaders, who tell the people, let's not rely upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let's rely upon our own might, upon our own allies. He'll also punish the people, the silent majority of the people that assist. They let these wicked people, they keep them in power. They're called the Ezras, those who give assistance to the Poalei Oven, to those that do evil. Even though they themselves did not do the evil, they only assist them, they support them, they're quiet, they're also guilty. Okay, so this is the criticism, it's a very powerful pasuk. You just remember this pasuk in life. V'gam hu chacham. So remember this expression. Hashem is also a chacham. We think that we're chachamim. Hashem's also a chacham. It's not so terrible to rely upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be mispal. He also can help us. And if he doesn't want us to survive, he can make out of our plans nothing. There's a very...
Are there people who still believe we shouldn't go to Egypt based on this pasuk or not?
Halacha lemaisa, obviously. I don't know the exact details. Obviously, the Rambam did live there, and... I remember there used to be a firm person who was the ambassador, the Jewish ambassador, Shama Shabbos, who was the Jewish ambassador for the United States in Egypt. He had a kosher kitchen, and he was there for a number of years. And I remember one someone gave a whole shiur on all of the rules. Ani halach l'mais doesn't apply. You're only not allowed to go there where you're going there for no purpose whatsoever. But when you're going there for a purpose, generally we're very lenient. And we don't take this pasuk, and obviously Rashi is making the statement, how far do you take the statement in halacha? Also, we have to take this in the context, because the context was that they did not ask Yeshaya. They did this on their own without seeking guidance from their spiritual leaders, which is obviously a problem. But, well, this whole thing... What?
Mm-hmm.
go there as a tourist?
Pashas is yes.
There were Jewish communities there until the rise of Nasser.
Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim was the largest Jewish community. The Gemara talks about this.
Nasser came into power.
Yeah.
In Cairo, Alexandria.
Alexandria Shel, the Gemara talks about Alexandria. The shul was so large you couldn't see from one end to the other. You couldn't hear the chas. They waved flags to indicate when you should answer Amen. That's how large it was. But it was destroyed. And why was it destroyed? I think some say it was destroyed because of this prohibition. I don't know the details. It's complex. It's not so simple when the rules apply, when the rules do not apply. But one thing is also, Rav Schwab, he every so often he writes, he hints that Bisman has said, you read all these psukim, I always use borrow the expression, the musical chair theory, that every generation we have to reassess who in our times is Mitzrayim, who in our times is Moab and Edom. We take the midos of various nations and we look in each generation, who are they? And we can learn from them. So Rav Schwab seems to say here and there, maybe I'm not reading it correctly, that Bisman Hazer, there are many similarities between the United States of America and Mitzrayim. The biblical Mitzrayim, the Mitzrayim that Yeshaya is speaking. And how in Eretz Yisrael, the Israeli government, or even us, we feel very confident that we have America on our side, and they'll be there for us. And in history, it's a fact that they have provided financial aid, I mean, billions and billions of dollars. It's a fact. And we're not on a level, Bisman Hazer, where we can just say we have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and don't do hishtadlus. I mean, that's a given. There has to be hishtadlus in our times. You just can't... You can't go. You have to lobby for support, and there should be a state, and so on and so forth. That's a given. But there's a balance. You can't go too far. And here, when Yeshaya criticized, we have an entire parak. He criticized that. What are you relying on Mitzrayim? Why don't you rely on the Kadosh Baruch Hu? He's speaking to us. There's no question about it. He's speaking to us in our time. And now, there's nothing wrong with relying upon the United States of America, but we have to focus also on what it says here, that v'loy shohu al kidosh Yisrael v'yas Hashem loy darashu. The criticism is, don't just do one without the other. Don't just completely rely upon Egypt and completely ignore our Kadosh Baruch Hu. There has to be a balance, yeah?
But Yeshayahu, it doesn't talk really of a balance. In other words, he says, "Don't bring." God is smart. Egypt is bad. Why can't there be
on their level? In his time, it was different. First of all,
you can rely on Egypt and still daven three times.
Absolutely,
a day.
Absolutely. His generation, and he's dealing with the real Egypt. Egypt, he's dealing with, we don't even know, this is just an idea. The fact that this recorded for all time, obviously there are lessons for us in every single generation. Here he's discussing a nation that found themselves in great danger. Their only solution they felt was Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim was a world power. At this point in time, the time of the Malchus of the Aseres HaShvatim, Asher was not yet the world power. They were an up-and-coming world power. The world power was still Mitzrayim. They were with other nations. And the Jewish people felt that their best chance of survival was assistance from Mitzrayim. And he severely criticized that their focus is Egypt and their focus is not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It could very well be that if they would have asked him, should we go to Mitzrayim? He would have given them a hadracha, what to do, and he would let them go to Mitzrayim. But it had to be within a program, a framework that was directed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look, no, we don't need anything more than the Meraglim. The Meraglim, there was nothing technically wrong with going to spy Eretz Yisrael, but it was the way it was done. The whole approach of going to Eretz Yisrael, their whole intent was to find chesronos. You have with Moshe, with Shmuel, we want a melech. There's nothing wrong with having a melech, but it was the approach. Everything is good if it's done the right way. The criticism here is that the way you're relying upon Egypt is not being done with a Torah Dika Hashkafa. If it would be done with Torah Dika Hashkafa, it is fine. It's the critic, you have to focus on the words V'lo Shohu and V'lo Darashu. Okay, hey, Pasig.
I just want to say, it's not really exactly similar, but there's something on Spain too, based on the Abar Benel's curse on Spain when he left Spain, that Jews don't go to Spain also because of the environment.
Like Mitzrayim, because of what they did to us.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Based on that, how do you go to Germany?
Okay, let's go further. Umitzrayim Adam v'loikel. Here he continues his criticism. Why are you focusing? Why are you obsessed with Egypt? Egypt is not a god. They're nothing more than the human beings. Umitzrayim Adam v'loikel. Before we go further, one impossible place I forgot to mention. There's a Yerushalmi. It's not a Medrash. This is Talmud Yerushalmi. It is mind-boggling what it says. This Yerushalmi about to tell you is discussed at great length in Masechta Kiddushin, at the end of Masechta Kiddushin in Yuchsin, the end where we discuss the Yichus, all the laws of the Yichus of the Jewish people. So this, let me read you what it says.
It's from Yerushalmi.
This from Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says
Yuchsin or Kiddushin?
Yerushalmi Yevamos. This Masechta, it's Yerushalmi. Let me just find exactly. Yeah, here it is. This is a Yerushalmi Masechta Yevamos Perik Ches Halacha Gimel. So Yerushalmi, this Yerushalmi is mentioned. It is brought up in when you learn the end of Masechta Kiddushin. That the Perik there discusses all the laws of Yichus, Mamzerus, and Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim. And so on and so forth. So let me read you what it says. Amar b'chanina, achas l'shishim v'l'shivim shana, once in 60 or 70 years, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevi dever ba'olam. Hashem brings a plague, a churban in the world. U'mechale mam zeirehem shel Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wipes out, what's the purpose of the dever? HaKadosh Baruch Hu quietly causes all the people who are secretly mam zeirim to disappear, to die. V'noytel es hakshir mimohem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu also causes some of the tzaddikim who are not mamzer to die, to cover up. No one should know who's a mamzer, who's not a mamzer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very selective who should remain for the next generation. Shalom lefarsem es chato'ayim, not to expose the sin, the people who are mamzer. U'matam zos, what's the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu does this? V'gam hu chacham v'yovei ra. Ella, let me just find pasuk, and that's the source. But basically, what it says, the source for this is this pasuk. Because how could it possibly be that you combine these two concepts together? Hashem is a chacham, and He brings ra. In this world, the whole tafkid of chachma is to do good, not to bring evil. Evil genius. Ever take a philosophy course? There's a whole concept called the evil genius. It's Apicursus. This idea of the evil genius is Apicursus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world just to do harm to people.
But Goyim, it could be that way.
Goyim, this is Apicursus. But L'chaya, Hovah Nischak below. That's what Parakeh. Parakeh, Hovah Nischak below. Let's see. Well, you're right. I didn't think of that. Hovah Nischak below. Pen Yirbeh. So let's destroy them. Let's be wise. Let's plan in advance. Let's plan in advance to protect ourselves by destroying the Jewish people. Right. So Paro is a chacham to do ra. Human beings, they're evil, evil people. That we know. There are many evil people out there. There are monsters out there who are use their chachma to bring evil. But to say this about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a chacham and he brings ra, this is mamish. This is class A apikorsis. There is such an approach in the secular world. Evil genius. It's called evil genius. The gam hu chacham vayovei ra. Half-lev a fellow. How could this pasuk say that the Baruch Hu is a chacham to bring ra? So it's not just a kasha. You look in the context of the pasuk, it means read all the psukim together. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, people over here, where we're lying. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, forget about him. We don't even want to think about him. We don't want to be bothered. We are going to rely upon Egypt, and we have a very elaborate plan. We're going to send them gifts, and we're going to give them something that they need. And we're going to provide stability in the region, and therefore it's in their best interest. And they're going to send us weapons, and we're going to survive. We're chachamim. But we're also sinners. We'll also do whatever we want. We'll worship idols. We'll rob. We'll extort, and so on and so forth. Hashem says, "I'm also a chacham. I'm also a chacham. I want to punish you, and my plans are better than your plans. I'll outsmart you, and you'll be destroyed. You'll be conquered. So it's not such a question if you read the whole context together. Hashem indeed will be a chacham to bring ra upon people who deserve ra. He'll outsmart your chacham. But if you just want to take the psukim the way they are in an isolated form, how could that, what could that possibly mean? So the Medj, the Yerushalmi explains, Hashem is a chacham and he brings ra in order to preserve the purity of Klal Yisrael. Mamzerus is not a person that's a mamzer, Rachman al-Islam, and his secret mamzer, he perpetuates mamzerus. What's going to be in the future generations? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shechina only rests on miyuchasim. How will Mashiach come and rest upon Klal Yisrael when they will be among us mamzerim? Cannot be such a thing. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no choice but to purge the mamzerim, the secret mamzerim from Klal Yisrael. How will he do that? It's a pella, so Memel Hashem is a chacham. He has an elaborate plan. Vayavi ra, he brings upon this world a plague, a dever, and through the dever, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, every 60-70 years, purges a collection of people, good and bad. How could it possibly a good person is going to suffer for a sin he did not commit? I have no idea. That's the old question. Tzadik v'ralo. That is no answer to that question. Tzadik v'ralo. But they're going to be died together with the mamzerim in order to cover up, not to embarrass the mamzerim who are at no fault. I mean, this is, someone would say this. Someone today would say this. They would be dismissed. They would be told not to come back and give the shia. And even if it's a medrash, you wouldn't really. You would put the medrash aside. You know, not every medrash is something which you have a right. It's a gemara. So a gemara is something which has to be dealt with. Not every medrash you have to deal with. But a gemara, a Talmud Yerushalmi, if it was. You have to make sense out of it. So what? How do you make sense? I don't know. That's beyond me for sure. And I think it's beyond most of the Mefarshim. But it's something which should be noted. The thing that we are learning in Yeshaya, it is a fascinating pasuk. Chochem vayovei ra. I mean, it's a fascinating concept. And the Gemara is bothered by the simple reading of the pasuk. Again, the context we can make sense out of. But from the simple reading, how could it be that Kadosh Baruch Hu is a chacham to bring ra? It means he brings a dever every 60-70 years to purge the mamzerim from Klal Yisrael. Okay, that's the one. Just bring out that fascinating point. Pasuk Gimel, Mitzrayim Adam Lo El, Egypt, they're only human beings. Don't attribute any godly powers to the Egyptians. If Hashem does not want them to help you, they're not going to help you. V'susayim bosar v'lo ruach. The horses, it's just meat. It's just flesh. It's not a spirit. It's not a living spirit that can accomplish miracles. V'Hashem yate yod. If Hashem wants, he'll turn his hand. He'll just turn his hand a little bit. And v'choshal ozer, the one that is helping, referring to the Egyptians who you think are going to come to your aid to help, will stumble. The Egyptians will stumble, be crippled in an election. They don't have time to focus on bigger issues out there in the world. They're busy with themselves, they're stumbling, and the nail of the people who are relying upon their support, the Nofal Uzor, the one that is being assisted. It's a very beautiful expression. The Ozer and the Azur, the one that is helping and the one that is being assisted. The one that's helping will stumble. The male, the one that needs assistance, will fall. V'yachtav kulam yichloyun, and together, both Egypt and the Jewish people will perish. And indeed, Ashur conquered Egypt and then conquered the Malchus of Yisrael. So they were both conquered. So this is the Musar of Yishai. Pasuk Dalet. Ki choyam Hashem Elai. So says Hashem. Now this is the end of the parasha, and this refers to the Chorban. Indeed, there was a Chorban. Ashur, indeed, all of the gifts and the elaborate plans of the Malchus of Yisrael and many people who relied upon them in Yehuda did not come to fruition. Nothing helped. Egypt was conquered, and Ashur was just, we learned this 100 times, was just about to conquer the last holdout. What was the last holdout? Yerushalayim. But Yerushalayim will be spared. And here, and we describe in the whole series of Pesukim again, another perspective. This is repeated so many times in Yeshaya. Not really clear why. Why Yeshaya this happened during his lifetime. Not really, during his lifetime, he predicted this. And he says this in many ways. Each time he repeats this, it's from a different perspective. It's a whole different look. And we mentioned many times, the reason why this event is so significant is because this is the last Nes Golu that happened for Klal Yisrael in history. Yitzias Mitzrayim was the first for the nation, and the last Nes Golui on that level was Ashur, the fall of Ashur, the survival of Yerushalayim with Chizkiyahu. After that, there was nothing that came to this level. Purim was a Nes Nista. Hanukkah, it was a war. There was a war, there was a battle. It was Gibor Miat Chaloshim, V'ram Bad Miat. That's not unheard of. It's not unheard of in the world that there are such wars where Giborim Biad Chaloshim, Ma'atim Biad Ravim Biad Ma'atim, the Nes of Chanukah, the menorah, that's not a miracle that was goli for the. That was a miracle that happened privately in the Beis HaMikdash. There's what to learn from. We light the Neros. But on a level, such a massive level where the nation was in danger, was about to be destroyed, and suddenly a Malach comes and wipes out 185,000 people. It's not to be believed. It was the last major miracle, and that's why it should have been the meeting of Mashiach, and he sort of sang Shira. We have all these Midrashim, because this was the end. The end. Everything from there is where we're living history. Where we're living history. In a certain form, this is Mashiach. Yitzias Mitzrayim was the beginning of Klal Yisrael. The fall of Asher is Mashiach. It didn't play out exactly the way we want. So we're today reliving history in different layers, coming again to try to bring out the miracle of Ashur to bring Mashiach itself. And l'chor, that's why Yeshaya over and over repeats this, because there's much for us to learn from this, because in this event are the roots of Mashiach. The details of this event is where we could extract what we need to do to bring out Mashiach. Ki koyam Hashem elai kasher yege ha'aryeh, just like an aryeh v'ha'kefir, two different names for a lion. Aryeh is the mature lion, the kefir is a baby lion. There are seven names for a lion. Yege means to roar. If a lion discovers food, prey, a little creature that he wants to consume, he roars upon his prey, and he gets himself ready to attack. Al tarfo. Tarfo means his prey. Asher yikor. Then what happens if asher yikorei olav melo royim? Let's say as the tiger, the lion, is about to conquer, all of a sudden a whole group of shepherds come upon the lion, and they want to prevent the lion from tearing apart this little sheep. It's a little sheep. It gets caught in a bad place, makes a wrong turn. It's in a lion's den. The lion's about to attack, and all the shepherds are now trying to spare the sheep from the claws of the lion. Nothing's going to help. You could have 50 shepherds, and the 50 shepherds can be screaming, and they can be throwing rocks. The lion couldn't care less. The lion is confident it will conquer, it will attack, and nothing will hold him back. Even, Asher means even if, yikore means to gather. Yikore means to call. Call, when you issue a call, the call would cause people to come together. Olav meloi roim, a collection of shepherds. Mikoylam lo yechas, the lion couldn't care less from the voice of the shepherds. He's not afraid. Lo yechas, he's not broken. Yechos means, in this context, the lion is not afraid. Umei hamoinam, from their shouts, or from their multitudes. Umei hamoinam means from the large collection of shepherds and people. Lo ya'aneh, he is not humbled. He refuses to retreat. Kain so too. Yered Hashem tzvakos litzpo al har tzvakos will come to wage war. Litzpo means to gather together an army, like a tzva haganah liYisrael. Tzva means an army. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come to gather his army, Al Har Tzion upon Har Tzion, the Al Givoson upon its valley. In other words, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come to save Chizkiyahu and the Jewish people in Yerushalayim at this point in time, Hashem is not afraid or impressed with 185,000 soldiers surrounding the city poised to destroy and conquer. It's meaningless. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like the lion. Just like the lion, when it's ready to attack, is not intimidated by a collection of shepherds that are screaming and trying to prevent the lion from attacking. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not intimidated by a million soldiers surrounding Yerushalayim ready to attack. Hashem in one shot will destroy and wipe out and bring death upon all of these soldiers. And then the pasuk says something else. Hashem is also like a bird, like a mother bird. Kitziparim ofos. Just like ofos means to fly or to hover. Just like the mother bird hovers over her young, Cain so too. Yogen Hashem tzivakos al Yerushalayim. Hashem will protect Yerushalayim with four expressions of protection. Ganon, which means to protect, shelter, v'yitzilis, to save, pasoach means to skip, but it also means to have compassion. It means, it's an expression, in this context, it literally means to skip, like a pasach Hashem al ha-pesach, Hashem will skip over the door, and that means Kadosh Baruch Hu will cause the enemy to skip over the Jewish people, not to destroy them, for him lit, and Hashem will cause the Jewish people to escape the onslaught of the enemy. So in this pasuk, we're comparing HaKadosh Baruch Hu to a bird. And that's a very interesting analogy there. These two psukim together, pasuk dalet and pasuk hey. Pasuk dalet compares Hashem to a lion, and pasuk hey compares Hashem to a bird. Each one has their own milas. A lion is the mightiest creature among the animals, but it's not the fastest. It can't fly. It's like a tank. Right, it's indestructible, but a tank can't fly. You can't go send a tank across the world in a matter of minutes or hours. A bird is the fastest. A bird can fly from place to place. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the combination of both milas, of the bird and of the lion. And that's what these two psukim are doing. And it says here there are four expressions. Refers to four different stages of protection. If we're fortunate, we'll merit the first stage called Ganon. What is Ganon? Like a gan, a garden. What does a person do to his garden? He puts up a fence. The enemy cannot even penetrate the homeland because there's a fence protecting entry. The second is for Hitzil. Hitzil is already where the enemy penetrates. But even though the enemy has penetrated, we're able to be spared, we're able to push him, we're able to fight back and save ourselves from his penetration. Pasoach means not only does the enemy enter and we're not able to prevent him from advancing, he comes all the way through. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kind to us and causes that he passes over. He doesn't do any damage as he passes over our land. And the himlit is a more delicate type of salvation where the bombs are dropping. He's not just passing over, he's stepping on us. But even though he steps on us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rachmanis, hashkacha pratis, the bombs don't land on our head. They land in an area that we are spared. So this is a fascinating procession. Who would I see this? Maybe this is a medrash, or maybe, I don't remember where I saw this interpretation, but it's a beautiful idea. Four different levels of salvation. The best, again, is Ganon. There should be like a garden. Shouldn't even enter. He'd steal. If we're no merit, and he does enter, he comes into our land, at least he shouldn't chapa. Okay, so he came in, but he doesn't do any harm. If we're not zorcha to that, and he does harm, but at least it should be in the third level, pasoach, is to skip over. And again, the worst is the himlit, if he actually has to actually come in and do harm, at least even the harm that he does, we should be spared from the harm. Now let's tell you another vart that ties into this. Davening. It's not It's not 100% related, but I just was thinking about it today when I was davening. This is in Birchas Yoytzer Or. It's a good word anyway, even if it has nothing to do with this. We say, here it is, Elokei Olam, Berachamecho Horadim, Rachem Aleinu, have pity on us. And then we say four expressions. Adoin Uzeinu, the Master who is our help. Tzur Miskabeinu, Mogein Yeshenu, Miskav Ba'adin. What are these four expressions? I saw, I don't remember where I saw this either, that it refers to the four stages of a person's life. Person is very young, he needs Uzeinu, Adon Uzeinu. When he gets a little bit older, a Bachor, then he needs Tzur Miskabeinu. When he gets even older, he needs heavy-duty salvation. And then, old age, Miskov Ba'adeinu, he needs the fourth stage. Because I don't know why these words, but there is some drush that relates these four different expressions in the Brach of Yotzar to the four stages of a person's life. And each stage, what this is, no, this is the Birchas Hashach, this is a Yotzar, every single whole of a weekday davening. Weekday davening, right after Baruch Hu, the Bracha Yoseh Shalom Uvoreh Sakol, Hamir La'aretz, and then you mention is a Bakosha, right smack in the middle of this prayer, Elokei Olam, Berachamecho Rabim, Rachem Aleinu, four expressions, Adonu Zeinu Tzur Miskabeinu Mogein Yeshenu Miskav Ba'adeinu. So I was thinking these four expressions, maybe there is some drush, some suggestion that here in this pasuk where we describe in the Shbrach that he's a bird, he is Gonon V'Yitzil Pasach V'Himlid, maybe you can say a drush that also corresponds to the four stages in the person's life. Kadosh Baruch Hu is always there for us, whether we're infants, adolescents, middle age, or old age. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always there in these four stages in life. But the main thing to remember here is that we have here two psukim. Kadosh Baruch Hu is for us as a lion, and he's as us as a bird. The milus of both. A flying tank. Okay. We're going to come to that.
With the raw, the yovel raw, and this other.
No, we're gonna have another pasuk. We're gonna have the actual pasuk. So he's saying that the idea, we're gonna have it later on. That pasuk comes from Perek Memhei. Perek Memhei pasuk Zayin. So Yirtz Hashem, we get there. We'll discuss that. We change it from Vayas Hara to Vayas Hakol. But over here, you do see this idea. The Gamu Chacham. Hashem is also a Chacham, don't forget that. Vayovei Ra. When Hashem wants, he brings evil. How could that be? How could Hashem use his Chachma for Ra if we're deserving? In a Chanani. Or it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses the Ra only for ultimate good in order to preserve the Kiddush of Klal Yisrael based upon that Yerushalmi, which is very, very difficult to understand. Okay, we'll stop here.
We'll see it.